Well, for the past 3 weeks, we have been taking a detailed look at what we are doing right now. Something we do every Saturday, something called worship. So let's do a quick recap of what we have been learning so far, okay? In week one, Pastor Cindy showed us the big picture of what happened at worship. We start with welcome. When God gathered us into his presence, and then through praising God, we prepare our hearts into his presence. And then through sermon, number three, we receive his word. And after sermon, through the response song and communion, we respond to God and the message. And at the end, benediction and sending, we are sent by God back to the world. But for the past 3 weeks, we have also learned that our mindset right here at worship could be miles away from what God expects. When we are listening to sermon, our mindset may be like, this does not concern me. That doesn't concern me. But in reality, the sermon is God's word for you and me. When we think about praising God, we often think that the music team, the leading person, is performing for us. We, the congregation, we just sit back. We are the audience, right? But in reality, we are not the audience. This is another mindset shift. We, the congregation, indeed, are the performers. And in front of God, we are the worshiper. And last week, Pastor Carson talked about offering at worship. And just like giving to any charity, we often think that we are the donors. We are the one who give money, right? But in reality, offering is not just a donation. And we need to shift our mindset from being a donor to an investor, remember? So from sermon to praise to offering, our anatomy journey has come to the last stop, week four. As we are concluding the series, we will talk about the end of worship. And before I continue, let me invite you to bring out your sermon notebook. Anyone bring it? This is important. Okay, do it. I'll give you 1 second. If you haven't bring it out, do it. Okay, you don't need to copy everything from the PowerPoint. This is not a high school or university lecture, but there will be a few important slides that I will remind you later on. Don't worry. I'll remind you to copy down, okay, word for word, because those are important for today's message, okay? So keep it handy, okay? So when we think of the word worship, we often think of what we do here, right? 6 o'clock Eastern or Western Standard Time every Saturday. We often think of worship service as an one-hour-long program, right? We attend. And once the program is done, it's just like the end of any show. We stand up, we pack our belongings, we fold the chair sometimes, and we say bye to our friends, and then we leave. We leave this building and back to the normal world or the real world after this hour. Think about that, the whole experience. Do you think that sometimes, do you feel that what happened at this particular hour have very little to do with the other 167 hours? Do you feel that sometimes our worship life at weekend does not have much to do with your Monday to Friday life sometimes? Do you sense that there is a gap, between what we are doing now and this compared to the so-called real world? So as we are concluding this series, let's explore together how this gap can be bridged. At the end of each worship service, we often conclude the program with the word of benediction and sending. So what is benediction? The word benediction is actually a Latin word. That means good words or good speech. In the ancient Roman culture, when people would say bye to each other, the tradition is that to wish them well, because they probably have to travel a long way from one place to the other. walking, right? And the words are a sincere wish and hope that the person does arrive at the destination safely. That makes sense, right? And the ancient Hebrew culture, which is closer to our Old Testament, however, had a somewhat different tradition. Typically, people were blessed with the name of God and also with words that would almost constitute a prayer offered over people. But however, benediction from the biblical tradition is more than just a prayer. When we pray, okay, think about when we pray. We ask for something, right? We ask God for something that only God can do. Sometimes, right, we ask for the difficult things, right? For example, you didn't study well, but you go to exam and you pray that you get at least 80. Sometimes it's more difficult. But some other time, when you didn't study and you pray that God keep me a pass, right? We may ask God for something impossible. I think that's true, right? However, benediction is more than just another prayer. Benediction actually is a pronouncement or a declaration. Think about in wedding, at the end, the pastors always say, now I declare you husband and wife, something like that, right? Okay, so this is that declaration or pronouncement. So, and benediction, the host, pastor sometimes, will declare a God-sized expectation that only God can give. Think about that. It's a God size. It's not something small. It's not about passing exam or, you know, get a job. It's much bigger. And at the same time, we, the congregation, would receive by faith what only God can give. So when we read the Bible, you'll find a lot of different versions of benediction or blessing in many different places. So let me just highlight for you a few. One of the oldest of these blessings was given to Aaron the high priest in the book of Numbers, which is the fourth book in the Old Testament. So it's pretty at the beginning. Number chapter 6, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, "Speak to Aaron and his son saying, thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you." I don't know whether you heard about that. "And the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." That was how the Hebrew priests would bless God's people in the Old Testament. When we come to New Testament, where would you find benediction? Actually, benediction can often be found at the end of the letters, Paul's letters. Out of all the letters written by Paul, almost all of them conclude with a word of benediction. And let's take a look at one of the more familiar ones at the book of 2 Corinthians. I'm sure you have heard about that. "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." Okay, I'm sure you have heard about that probably in some other church services, maybe even right here. At the end of 2 Corinthians, Paul was declaring a God-sized expectation, including the Trinity right here, Jesus, God, and Holy Spirit. And actually, at the end of his letter, the Apostle Paul often gathered up the ideas that came before in the letter, and we frame them as a blessing from God to the person or to the church that he was writing to. And if we go all the way to the very last chapter of the Bible, if you have the Bible, you can just take a look as well. You will find this verse, "The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all." Amen. Okay. This is, you know what this verse was the significant? This is the last, very last word in the Bible. From book of Revelation, chapter 22, the last verse. And now we know that God's last word to his church are also a word of benediction. So from Old Testament to Paul to Revelation. But I think you might ask, hey, something is missing. How about the gospel? How about Jesus? At the end of Jesus' earthly ministry, Jesus concludes his life, the earthly life, also with the word of blessing and standing for his disciples. So now let's learn a little bit more about how Jesus blessed and sent his followers. And as we read the gospel, we notice that Jesus' earthly ministry did not end on Easter, right? I remember a few weeks ago I preached about Easter, but you know, Jesus didn't just stop there, right? At the end of the first gospel, after the resurrection story, actually Matthew concludes his gospel with Jesus' last word to his disciples, Matthew chapter 28. And Jesus came and said to them, I'm sure this is also familiar, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, Jesus said. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. This is the end of the Gospel of Matthew. Here we notice that Jesus' last word include two components, sending, blessing. In Jesus' sending, he charged the disciples to go. He charged the disciples to make disciples. He charged them to baptize other people, and he charged them to teach God's commands. After sending them, Jesus concludes his speech with a blessing. I am with you always to the end of the age. So this is Matthew's version how he concludes his gospel story. How about we take a look at another different version, Dr. Luke. Luke also gave a very detailed account of Jesus' last moment on earth. Even more detailed than Matthew, I would say. And according to Luke, after the Easter Sunday, Jesus spent 40 days with the disciples and teaching them about the kingdom of God. And then came a special moment, which we often call a ascension. According to Luke chapter 24, which is also the last chapter of Luke's gospel, Jesus opened their mind, the disciples, to understand the scripture and said to them, you are witnesses of these things, and behold, I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany, which is a place very close to Jerusalem, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. Jesus blessed his disciples. And while he blessed them, he parted from them and was carrying up into heaven. That was the ascension moment. From Luke's gospel, we also notice that Jesus' last word include two components, same as Matthew, sending and blessing. In Jesus' sending, he affirmed that the disciples are his witnesses. He also sent the promise of his Father upon them, which is the Holy Spirit, if we take a look at the context. And then in Jesus' blessing, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And then he was carried up into heaven. When we combine Matthew and Luke's account together, we will see a more complete picture. Next slide. See, this is how Jesus blessed and sent them. I won't go into the detail. This is the Matthew version, the Luke version. You see the blessing and also the sending. So before Jesus returned to heaven, Jesus blessed his disciples and then he sent them to be his witness. And after Jesus was lifted up to heaven, Luke actually also gave an interesting account about those who were left behind. After Jesus was lifted up, as we just read, and the cloud took him out of their sight. And then Luke wrote, while they were gazing into heaven as he went, which is actually in Acts chapter 1 already. You know, Luke's gospel and Acts were written by the same person, by Luke. So Luke wrote, While they were gazing into heaven as Jesus went, two men in white robes said, "Why do you stand looking into heaven?" For the disciples who were gazing into heaven, the ascension seems to be an end. Despite of what Jesus told them, they were still wondering, hey, what's next? Okay, Jesus suddenly was gone. They didn't expect that, right? They thought Jesus would be, they didn't know there was only 40 days. They thought it would be a lot longer. Jesus would be around. But suddenly Jesus disappeared. So while the disciples thought that the time with Jesus has come to an end, for Jesus, the end is just the beginning. Even though Jesus was no longer physically with them, it was not the end of the story, right? As we all know, Acts is just another book just begun. A lot more exciting things happen in Acts. And in fact, Jesus' physical departure has launched a whole new chapter about discipleship, about what does it mean in following Jesus. The end is just the beginning. The end has become a new beginning. And that connects with how our worship service is ended. Let's talk about one more mindset shift as what we have been doing for the past 3 weeks. At the end of worship, we as church are not released from service. We are actually released for service. We are not released from service. We are actually released for service. At the end of like this hour, when the host conclude with the word of blessing and sending, on one hand, us, the congregation, is reminded that, wow, we are blessed. We are the blessed one from God. We are the beloved children of the good Father, for sure. But on the other hand, the congregation, which is us, is also reminded that gathering here is not our ultimate goal of following God. We are being sent out as witnesses, just as what Jesus told his disciples. We are being sent out as his witnesses. We are released to serve the needs of the world. So, the end of the worship is actually not a real closure. The blessing, the sending offer at the end, I think, are more like bridges. Okay, bridges. Bridges which are standing in the gap between the end of worship and the beginning of a brand new week. This blessing and sending at worship, I think, can also be compared to the launching pad, for example, right, of Space Shuttle. After the worship service, the church is launched back to our neighborhood, back to our school, back to our workplace with God's blessing. Yes, the end is indeed, it's just the beginning. At the end of worship, we are not released from service. We're actually released for service. Now, you can copy this. This is the slide I make for you. Okay, copy this. And church, if we have a notebook, this slide is worth copying. And in case you don't know, I give you a hint, actually. For our preaching team, I give you a little background. This is called punchline when we learn how to preach in Koinonia. Before we preach, the preacher will ask, what is the one thing I must communicate tonight? What is the one thing I want Koinonia to know? And then the preacher will ask, how can I prepare the entire talk around this one thing that I most want to communicate? So this is important. So take a photo if you don't have a notebook and memorize it. As a church, we are blessed. We are empowered. We are commissioned by God to re-enter to the world as his witnesses. And after this weekend gathering, we as a church is sent out to be his witness for the other 6 days. So what can we take home today? Okay, after we know that this is very important, let me leave you with two actions items. Action number one, ending the worship with open hands. When I was preparing this slide, I was thinking, I need a good graphic about open hands. And then I realized I don't need a graphic because our background is an open hand already. Thank God. Save me some time. At the end of today's worship, when benediction and sending is pronounced, I really encourage you to hold out your hands and as an expression of receptivity. With open hands, you are ready to receive God's blessing. You acknowledge that you are deeply blessed. You acknowledge that you are the beloved sons and daughter of the loving God. And instead of I just tell you about that, let's do a demonstration, just as what Pastor Carson did for the past 2 weeks, right? This series involves a little bit of action. So let's stand together. Okay, this is not the real one yet. We'll do the real benediction at the end. But let's practice one. So as I'm pronouncing today's benediction, church, please hold out your hands as an expression of receptivity. Today's benediction is taken from Matthew chapter 28. This is how Jesus blessed and sent his disciples at the end of the first gospel. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the earth. And the people of God say, Amen. Well, so church, as the sending is pronounced, okay, this is the past minute, we are charged to go, right? We are charged to make disciples. We are charged to be his witnesses, starting at Richmond, at Burnaby, in Vancouver. And as this benediction is pronounced, a God-sized expectation has just been declared. It's not just a saying, it's not just a statement. It's a declaration that Jesus is with us, the church always. So when you receive this pronouncement with open hands, church, you are receiving a promise, embracing a reality, which is his presence. And this is only something that only God can give. Now you can be seated. Okay, it's not the end yet, okay? Okay, action number two. Let me give you another action that you can go. Actually, you should copy the last slide too. What did I say again? Ending the worship with open hands. Okay, copy that. Okay, so now this is entering the week with open hands. Besides receiving God's blessing, we also call to become a blessing. We move into the week and bless others through the spreading of the good news. Enter a brand new week with open hands would mean an open hand, a welcoming hand. It said to those in need, I'll help you. It greets a friend with love. It's always ready to work, to pray, or praise. And as we stretch out our hands, we are following Jesus as well. And let me give you some concrete ways how we can enter the week with open hands. Today is Saturday, right? Remember? Okay. On Sunday, let me give you an idea. You reserve a 10-minute block. It could be Sunday evening. You get out your sermon notebook. Okay, that's why you copy things, very important. You take a look at what you wrote. You review what you learned from the sermon and ask God, how can I apply what I learned in this coming week? And if possible, list out three things that how you can apply that. So this is what you can do on Sunday. 10 minutes, okay? Then on Monday, you reserve another 10-minute block. It could be Monday morning if you are not in a rush. For some time, Monday could be challenging, right? So 10 minutes on Monday. With open hands, you pray. Monday, you pray for opportunity to apply what you have learned from worship service. You can pray for people by names. Could be your family members, could be your friends. And let's see how God can use you to be a blessing to people around you. Wednesday, I won't give you 7 days, okay? Just a few days. On Wednesday, you reserve another 10 minutes to do a kind of a halftime review, just like in football, you know, the halftime thing, right? And then you think about, because it's the middle of the week, do I experience any wins? Do I experience God open door, any doors for me to become a blessing? So this is another opportunity to reflect. And then on Friday, you open your sermon notebook again. So this is very important. It's not just once a week thing now. This could be with you through the week. Open your sermon notebook and then you record any Thanksgiving moment in the past week. The people that you have met, maybe, or the things that God really opened for you. And then you end your week with a Thanksgiving prayer. If you have any Thanksgiving, and on Saturday, you bring all the Thanksgiving back to here. When you are praising God, when you are singing the praise, that you will sing differently because you are singing with a Thanksgiving heart. So church, let me give you a minute now of silence, reflection, that God will help us to digest what we have learned. God will help us to understand and also to deepen what we have learned together. So let's have a minute of silent reflection. Church, let's stand and pray together. Let's stand. Let's pray together. Dear God, as we conclude this sermon series on worship, Lord, we want to confess all the wrong ways that we have been thinking about worship. As we listen to your word, we confess that we does not take your word seriously. We does not take your word personally enough. As we sing praises, we confess that we often think that we are just the audience. We often think that we are just watching a show. And as we think about offering, we confess that there are too many times we are still in a donor mindset. So, Lord, as we come to the end of tonight's worship, we ask that you change our heart. We ask that you transform our minds. We ask that you show us that the end is just a new beginning. And Lord, we look forward to a day when all of us will bow before you. Lord, we look forward a day when all of us will stand face to face and worship our resurrected King in eternity. So, Lord, help us to be a true worshiper. Help us to worship you in the spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.